All right. Well, man, it's been a good night of preaching. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Looking forward to closing us out tonight and seeing what Jared has for us tomorrow morning, coming straight back into it. So I'm gonna just jump straight into it. I got a lot to go through tonight to wrap us up. So if you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 12. Truth be told, I just want to make sure I finish up on time. Macy's back there with her little Gestapo stop sign thing. She'll probably spike me with a volleyball or something. But over in John chapter 12, so I had this idea back in March. We've been going through on Sunday mornings the book of John, last few years, whatever, Bob on Sundays. And so I think we're about John 19 now. So I think this was back in March. We were in John 12. And I just had this one verse that really just stuck out to me in John 12, specifically two words. And you know, you're gonna look and you're gonna see these two words, like, kind of what's the deal? Like, you know, it seems pretty obvious what the difference is between the words. Seems not have much importance. What's the big deal? What does it have to do with anything? But think about it. What is the key to the Bible? And you know, if we go back to Bob's famous book, How to Study the Bible, the sold well under a million copies. You know, we have our little little red bookstore over there. I think this is the reason. My question is, how many free copies of this do we hand out every year? I think this puts that bookstore in the red 2,000 to 3,000 alone every year. So, but I'll tell you what, this book was definitely worth it. It's worth every penny we've lost on this. It's worth it in my life, because for me, this book was what changed it for me. 8.5 years ago, here I was, fresh out of high school, you know, about to start college, and I just didn't really have a purpose, direction in life. I was searching for answers, searching for the proverbial answers to life. And I cracked open this book. I don't even know how my family got it. You know, we just kind of started coming down, had family reach out to us, and I popped open this book 8.5 years ago. And what did I read when I opened this book? I read that there were 15 rules that you should know before you study your Bible. 15 rules you should know going into every time you read your Bible. 15 rules. Things like context. Things like you should know the context before you read a passage. Things like the three main people groups. How the Bible talks to Jews, to Gentiles, and to the church. Things like the Bible always has a historical, inspirational, and doctrinal application to it. Things like God has a plan for the universe, God has a plan for the earth, and God has a plan for your life and my life. I'd been to church most of my life. It had been the fog machine church, kind of like Damien. But I'd been to church. I never heard these rules. And specifically, it was rule number 9 in the 15 rules in How to Study the Bible. Rule number 9 says that the individual words are the key to the Bible. The individual words are the key to the Bible. And in fact, in this book, if you haven't read it, I would read it, because there's an entire chapter devoted in that book specifically to the key words of the Bible. And not only rule number 9, also rule number 5, which says how God uses the exact words he wants to use and events recorded to show you something. God has handpicked and chosen every single word in there for you and for me. And this changed my life 8.5 years ago. I started to look at the Bible differently. Made me look at it. Before, I just looked at it like it was just a good old book, you know, good religious book that had some good morals. I believed I knew some of the stories and stuff, but, you know, until I started looking at the Bible as Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says that every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in ye that believe." And it's once you look at the word of God this way, how every word of God is pure, and as you see it, as it is, the very word of God, the words of God, not as the word of men, then God can start to reveal his truths to you. Just as so many of you guys in this church, knowing your testimonies and some of the ones we've heard tonight, That same revelation happened to you at some point in your life where you see the Bible for what it is, the very words of God. So with that in mind, the fact knowing that the individual words are the keys of the Bible. We're going to talk about two words out of here in John chapter 12. And those two words are belief and confession. Belief and confession. It seems simple, but let's get into it. Over in John chapter 12, let's pick it up in verse 13. Let's get a context. Verse 13 says how they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, talking about Jesus, and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." So basically, to set up the precedence for the chapter, it's Palm Sunday, as we refer to it today. And, you know, to paraphrase kind of what's going on the next few verses, the rest of the chapter, Jesus starts prophesying about his coming death that's going to happen. Palm Sunday is he enters into Jerusalem the beginning of the week, just a few days before they're going to crucify him on the cross. So he's starting to prophesy about his death. Look at verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Look at verse 32. It says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. And he continues on. Look at verse 36. "While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." And verse 37, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." Well, who was the they? If we flip back to verse 20, it says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." So you have some Greeks who are coming wanting to see Jesus. These are not Jews, people not familiar with the Israel and their religion, coming up to see Jesus. But what does it say in verse 37? "Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." And that basically fulfills verse 38, 39, 40, and 41. It basically is talking about this Old Testament prophecy that it fulfilled that, you know, even though Jesus did all these miracles in front of these people, they couldn't believe because, as the Bible says, as it says in verse 40, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. And so that's kind of the precedence of it. And then, so you have this situation with these Greeks happening, but you also have the chief rulers who are standing by, the leaders of Israel in verse 42. And this is where we are today. Verse 42 says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." Let's pray. Bow our heads. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity and just the amazing preaching we've heard tonight, Lord. I just ask that, Lord, you'll just use this to just get me out of the way. And Lord, just touch at least just one person with this message, with your words, with the word of God. Lord, just get me out of the way here and just use this, Lord. Just pray for a good rest of the night and just safe travel home. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, "Also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him." You see, they also saw the miracles, just like the Greeks in verse 37. They saw the miracles. They had the literal Son of God in front of them, and they even believed them. They believed that the miracles were of God. They believed he was God. They knew their Old Testament. They were the chief rulers of Israel. They knew that, you know, that the Christ is going to be literally God manifest in the flesh. They knew that. But they didn't want to confess him. No confession. They wanted their belief to stay inside, confined to their heart. Why? Let's read the next verse. Verse 43. "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." And that's our problem right there. We like to... I'm sorry. That's my problem. That's my problem right there. I like to be praised of men. I like for my achievements to be recognized. I feel like I deserve recognition sometimes in my life. And don't get me wrong, you know, that's just part of being human, let's be honest, to have those feelings and desires, to want to be praised of men. You're not a bad person because you want to be praised of men. But, you know, it is a problem, one that your soul hangs in the balance of when you love the praise of men more than the praise of God, to the point where you won't confess him, to where you don't want to be put out of the synagogue, as it says in verse 42. You don't want to be put out of the synagogue. So what we learn from this is your belief is worthless without confession. Your belief is worthless without confession. Don't believe me? Let's go over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and if you don't have a Bible, look off your neighbors, look on your phone, because you want to see these verses. Romans chapter 10, and I forgot to say this earlier, but this is kind of a two-part message. I know we've been here a long time. It's getting late, so, you know, I kind of made this into two parts where, you know, we'll talk about it in context first for, like, unsaved people, and then talk about it in context for saved people. So, you know, if you're saved, you can go and tune me out right now. We're just going to talk about it in context for unsaved people. Go get some more food. Go call your buddy. Wish him a happy new year. You know, turn off your hearing aids, whatever you want to do. Go and tune me out. But if you're unsaved here, you want to listen to this. Romans chapter 10 tells us how to get saved. And you look earlier in Romans, you read go through some verses earlier in Romans, you find that we have a sin debt to God, and that makes us the enemy of God. The guys have been preaching about it all night. Our sin, we're sinners, and that makes us an enemy to God, and we have that sin debt that needs to get taken care of. And we learn that there's nothing that you and I can do to get that sin debt paid for. There's nothing we can do until we come to Romans 10, where in verse 9 and 10, he shows us there is a way to have our sins paid for. And these are the two verses that show us how to do that. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You look at those two verses and the two words, belief and confession, you find them both in both of those verses. You find them each once in verse 9, and you find them each once in verse 10. Belief and confession, you need both. When the Bible says, in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That means you're saying, I believe Christ is the Son of God. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe Christ is the Son of God. He's God himself who came and died for my sins. You believe that in your heart. I believe there's no way I can get to heaven except for accepting what he did on the cross. You believe that in your heart. But guess what? You can still believe that and end up in hell. I believe it. But you must have the confession. You must personally confess that. You see, belief is inward. Belief is between me and God. Or I'm sorry, belief is just me and me alone. Belief is just you, your personal beliefs. Verse 10 says, with the heart man believeth. Their heart is you. That's what you believe in. But then confession? Confession is between me and God. Confession is between you and God. And it is a must in order for you to get saved. I believe this, I believe all this about salvation, but you also must be willing to confess that to God. And that confession means you're making it personal between you and God. You're making it personal between you and God, between me and God. Look at verse 13. It says, for whosoever shall believe in the name of the Lord shall be saved. No, sir. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The call upon the name of the Lord, that's the confession. That's between you and God. You must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. You can't just believe it. You have to call upon the name of the Lord. That's what it takes. Belief is good. Belief is necessary. But guess what? Belief alone won't get you saved. In fact, I would even say, go so far to say, belief is easy. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You know, Dylan was just talking about that. It's God we're talking about. It's God. He's made everything in this beautiful earth and in the vast universe that, like, it's just crazy. People look out there and, you know, and there's a God, you know, based on nature. It's easy to see God's patterns and his who he is through nature. That's what that verse says there in Psalms. You know, I've always said it takes more faith, in my opinion, it takes more faith to believe that, you know, in evolution and, you know, so-called science and all that, junk. Bob, am I allowed to cuss up here? So-called science and all that junk. you know, that science puts out there, that it's easy to believe that God, that there is an all-powerful God. I think it takes more faith to believe in that stuff of evolution and science and all that stuff. Belief is easy. Plenty of people believe in God, but they wind up in hell because they never confessed and they never made it personal between them and God. The Bible says you need both out of these verses. You need belief and you need confession. Okay, unsaved people, we're good. For saved people, turn over to Acts chapter 19. Going the wrong way. Acts chapter 19. And we're going to talk about here in Acts chapter 19, belief versus confession for a Christian. Belief versus confession in the context of the walk with our Lord. And you see, it's one thing for us to believe in God, believe the word of God, but it's another thing to live it out in a state of confession. Acts chapter 19, verse 13 says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of priests, which did so." So there you go. We're dealing with the chief of priests again, just like in John chapter 12. Verse 15, "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." So, you know, basically you have this supernatural act where these guys are, you know, calling upon the evil spirits, and they claim that they know Paul and Jesus, you know, who they don't believe in. And it's a supernatural act that's happening. And out of it, verse 17 at the very end, it says, the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Amen to that. Verse 18, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." They not only believed, they confessed. And because they confessed, what does it say? They showed their deeds. And this is what confession looks like for us as Christians. It goes back to that saying, how we as a Christian, I don't do good works to get saved. You don't do good works to get saved. You do good works because you are saved. You do good works because you are saved. Verse 19, let's see what happens after this. It says, "Many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Look what happens here. They believed and confessed in verse 18 and showed their deeds. How did they show their deeds? Well, they come and take all their books together. They were into curious arts. They were into, you know, false science. They just had their world rocked by these evil spirits confessing the name of Christ, confessing Jesus and Paul. And instead of, you know, and they come and they bring their books together and they burn them. And, you know, it says how, you know, they could have sold their books. They could have, you know, they were into curious arts. I'm sure that stuff would have gone just like that, bestseller on Amazon. They could have made a pretty penny off of it. It says it was worth 50,000 pieces of silver. Jesus was worth 30. Pretty ironic there. Less than 0.1%. Judas could have sold Jesus over and over and over 1,666 times for the price of these books. Pretty ironic. It would have been easy for these Christians to justify it. These people who just believed, they could have justified it, said, "Oh yeah, you know, I'm a Christian now, but I'm still gonna, you know, I had a lot of investment in this. I could have, you know, still just made some money. At least, you know, it would have been like, yeah, I don't know if you guys know people who get involved in like pyramid schemes or multi-level marketing, where, you know, they get too deep in before they start realizing, you know, what it's not what they thought it would be, and they have to hold on and double down. And it's like they can't get out of it because of that. It could have been, you know, and these people could have just been like, you know, we're gonna sell these for, you know, at least not a complete loss. You know, we'll still make something off it." No, they not only believed, they confessed. They also confessed, and they showed their deeds. And what did that result in? They forgot about the past. They burned the books. They burned the past. That's what that's symbolic of. They didn't want the silver. They said it was better for the books to burn and not end up in the hands of someone else and lead them astray. They forgot about the past. Confession and showing their deeds led them to forget about the past. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all." Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." And they did that. They counted all things but loss. They counted those 50,000 pieces of silver. They counted those things a loss. They forgot those things which were behind. They burned them. When you confess your life as a Christian, number one, you show your deeds. Verse 18. When you confess your life as a Christian, number two, you forget and you let go of the past. Verse 19. And when you confess as a Christian your life, verse 20, the Word of God grows, and outwardly in the context of this verse, but also say the Word of God grows inwardly when you confess your life. You see, we as Christians, we can be stuck just believing. We can be saved by believing, as I talked about earlier, believing and confessing the salvation message. But in your Christian life and my Christian life, we can be just a believer. No confession, no showing your deeds. You see, it's one thing to believe the Word of God. I believe the King James 1611 Authorized Version is the perfect, pure Word of God. Great! Are you willing to confess that? Are you willing to live that out? Like I said earlier, belief is inward. Belief is inward. Confession is outward. And do my life and my deeds show that I actually believe the Word of God as I claim to? As I claim to believe. I want to be a Christian. I want to go to church. I want to serve the Lord. I want to use God. I want God to use me. I want to witness to people. But what will my friends think? What will the guys and the ladies at work think? What will the other kids at school think? What will my teammates think? For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see, it's one thing to believe in God, believe the Word of God, but it's a different thing to confess it and to live it out. Belief is easy. Confession takes sacrifice. As we saw with these guys in Acts 19, they burned their past. They burned the books. 50,000 pieces of silver, gone. Confession takes sacrifice. Confession takes self-denial. Confession takes dying daily to self and to our flesh. And I'm just preaching to myself here. You know, I get too comfortable. I get too stagnant in my relationship with the Lord. And you know what I justify with? I believe the Word of God. I still believe in a perfect book. I still believe in the Bible that we have. I believe in this church. That's what I justify it with. Belief is comfortable. Belief is easy to claim. But belief is not where God wants me. God wants me to confess, to show my deeds, and to live out what I supposedly believe in. And that's what he's called for us as Christians. So, I'm done. That's my challenge for all you that are saved. You know, that's his call to us. If you're not saved, you don't know what's going to happen the moment you die. As I said earlier, believe and confess to the Lord the salvation message that he's gifted us. Do that right now. Do that tonight. If you are saved, don't go another year just believing God, believing the Bible, believing this church, believing Bob, believing this ministry. Don't just believe it. Confess it. Confess him. Confess it and live it out and show your deeds. I'm done.